This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by Spear Travel Group.
Spear Travel Group is a team of dedicated travel professionals that take the work and stress out of planning all your travel needs for events before, during, and after your wedding, and of course, your entire wedding weekend.
They can help you with hotel accommodation needs surrounding your wedding. So wedding room blocks for out-of-town guests, which is a big deal, or even if you're going to, let's say, Nashville for your bachelor or bachelorette party, or Miami. They can help you find unique experiences anywhere in the world.
They can also help with luxury home rentals and hotels, which could be great for venues or for guests to stay. And after the wedding, they can help you curate your dream honeymoon.
Spear Travel helps clients with booking and building out their dream destination wedding, and they take away all the work but leave all the fun, saving you hours of endless research and that craziness of like having to read through and look through every single review online to see if the place is even worth it.
Plus, there are added perks, VIP service. They can help you use your points. Everything is negotiated on your behalf.
Listen, Spear does not just want to spend the weekend with you. As soon as that ring is on your finger, that's when the relationship starts. They're in this for the fun, and they want to have a great time with their clients.
All of their services at their core are at no cost to you. So visit them today, speartravelgroup.com, S-P-E-A-R, travelgroup.com, or send them a note at info@speartravelgroup.com to set up an intake call.
Thank you, Spear Travel Group. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Just two wedding planners. Tearing it up. Listen. Learn. Land that way. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained. At the same time, my name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We're happy you're here.
I've got my popcorn ready. Gonna watch a little Netflix.
Yes, Netflix and chill. I got some strawberry vodka I was experimenting with last night. It's quite delicious.
What'd you put in it?
I actually bought like some white cranberry juice that had strawberry in it, just juice. And then I had some soda and then the strawberry vodka, like soda water. It was good. And I drank several of those while I watched several episodes of The Wedding Coach and ignored my kids. And it was great.
That sounds really lovely.
Yeah. So hopping Saturday night, Netflix and chill style.
Yes. Well, this show with Jamie Lee, who is so fun and was really cool to talk to. The Wedding Coach is just an easy, it's an easy show to watch. Like it gets, it marks all the boxes, right? You've got your wedding content, right? We all, as we're planning weddings, want to just kind of sometimes eat, breathe, sleep, watch wedding, right?
Sure.
We've got, you know, Jamie Lee, who is adorable, and she's an actress and a brilliant comedic writer. You may know her from the show Crashing on HBO. She writes for...
She's a writer on Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Ted Lasso, which is so good. That's such a great show. She's awesome. And she got married, and she wrote a book. And the book's really good.
Yes, and the book is what the show is based on. So we both had the book prior to recording, but the show hadn't been released yet when we recorded this. So, I mean, it was just like a week out.
I was able to log in. They gave us a special account or a special login information for Netflix. So I was able to watch it before it was available. So I felt real special.
And it was recorded, when they recorded the show, it was prior to COVID.
Yes.
It was very comforting.
Yes, yes.
To be back in that mindset. So we're big fans of the show. It's delightful and down to earth. And 99% of what Jamie says in her wedding coach role aligns with everything that, you know, we put out on this podcast and that we believe in for weddings and, you know, keeping your cool, keep your shit together, don't lose yourself, stay connected, all those things. Every episode has kind of a focus like that. So,
yeah. So it's a fun show. If you haven't been watching it already, we think you need to, as soon as you're done with this episode, of course, as soon as you're done listening to us, turn on Netflix and watch The Wedding Coach, Jamie Lee. And it's brilliant. It's a great show. Like I said, it's easy to watch. It's really fun. And we were very honored to have Jamie on this episode and talking to us. And yeah, I mean, I think that's about it. I think we can just, you know, get to it.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm Jamie Lee. I am the host and executive producer of a show called The Wedding Coach on Netflix, and I am very excited to be a guest on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Yay, great job. We're so excited to have you. Now, did you get your degree in coaching? I just love that it's like, that's what I am because I'm hosting show.
I know. It's so ridiculous. No, I definitely am very much an unofficial expert. Yeah, there is no part of me that pretends to fully know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I kind of felt like whoever has gone through the trials and tribulations of planning a wedding, I think does have a degree of experience that can be sort of given and fed back to the new wave mm-hmm. of brides going through it. So yeah, I kind of wish that I had someone sort of like shepherd me through the process like that. So that was kind of my intention with the show.
And the show is based on a book you wrote, which yes. is based on your own experience planning a wedding.
That's right. Yeah. I wrote a book called Wediculous, and I actually wrote it while I was getting married. So I was going and having these experiences with like different vendors and family drama and whatnot. And I would just kind of come home and let it all out on the page. And that then became Wediculous. And then an executive at Netflix, his wife read the book, and then he reached out and was like, have you ever thought of turning this into a TV show? And I was like, well, it is kind of the dream to have your book turned into a show. Let me think about what that would actually look like. And I realized like there definitely would be sort of a market for like Queer Eye, but for weddings, like just someone who can like help people through all of the stress. And yeah. And then I was like, who better than a comedian who got married? Like, yeah, why not? Perfect.
Yeah, it's good. I love the jumpsuit. I love the jumpsuit.
Oh, thank you. The bride or die.
I could totally wear something like that for wedding day setup. Like they're
we
like
called
they're
it,
like. Christy hasn't seen
utilitarian.
She
wasn't
able to see it. Yes. Yeah, it was like what a mechanic wears, almost like at a shop, right?
Yeah, we just thought like, well, we were at these weddings to work. Like we were not there for vanity. We were there to like be boots on the ground and like get shit done. So yeah, that was sort of the idea behind the jumpsuit is like, I need a really like no frills costume. And we had a joke on set where we called ourselves Tiffany Blue Collar. that's what it felt like.
Wait, so the Tiffany, like the singer Tiffany
Blue,
like Tiffany Blue, oh, which is blue a color. Yeah, and then blue collar. Yeah, so yeah.
it's a pun, and you ran with it.
I wrote a pun that we ran with. Yeah.
Michelle saw the screener, and I have the book where we're two forces in one. But so the show is walking people through some of the planning, but then also day of, we're here, we're going to do it, full like the reveal, like you get on Queer Eye, you kind of get satisfaction.
Yes. We definitely wanted to help people through the process, but then like, yeah, we kind of refer to the wedding as like getting through the finish line. Like we just wanted to make sure that like everything went off without a hitch. And then me and my co-host for each episode, I have a different comedian friend with me every episode. We would just like enjoy the reception because we basically like worked the wedding and worked the lead up to the wedding. So then we just like attended the wedding and it was really, really fun. It was fun to see it from like the start to really like coming to fruition. And
yeah, I would imagine you like kind of care about
100%. So invested. Aww. And also because I really did have such a hard time planning my own wedding that like, I really wanted to help people. Cause I think that it's very easy to sort of like, I don't know. I feel like people are very just like brushing under the rug with weddings. They're like, oh, wedding stress isn't real stress. That's just like normal stress. And it's like, sorry, what is normal stress? Like, I don't like stress makes people sick. And like, you know, it can like really like rock the boat in your life. So I don't like how people minimize wedding stress and act like it's kind of in its own category. It's like, it's the same as work stress, family stress. Like, it's just stress. Like you feel like there are all these expectations of you and then it's super expensive. So there's financial stress. Like it is real. And I think that it's very easy to kind of just be like, whatever, that's just what happens at that point in your life when you're getting married. And it's like, well, someone should be talking about that because it's kind of a flawed system if everyone's feeling that way.
Well, I loved the episode when you brought the bride to the support group. It like, it looked like an AA, like,
Bridopaths Anonymous.
The bridopath. I like how you use the word bridopath, not bridezilla. Like that, I was like, yes.
I'm very, very anti-bridezilla as a label. I think it's so misogynistic and, it's like you're putting someone in a really pressure cooker situation where they have to like pull off an event and do it in front of everyone they love and respect. And then like, they're the crazy one for caring and getting stressed out and losing control. It's like, it's a really hard position to be in. So yeah, we say bridopath because we think that wedding stress is like an actual like medical condition and should be treated as such. That's like our whole philosophy. Yeah.
I have a question about kind of co-hosting or so with a friend of yours.
Yeah.
Not a friend that like the producers hooked you up with, like, this is a wedding professional.
But right.
A fellow comedian.
Yeah.
So were there like discoveries made between the two of you in any of these little partnerships where, I don't know, maybe something was like, oh, this is going to be stupid or let's just do this and kind of give it. But then you turned out to be like authentically like, oh my God, it really did work.
Definitely. I mean, I think that having a friend along for each episode, especially someone who's in comedy, I think both of us, like we're kind of trained in, you know, observations and not missing anything, like really trying to like, kind of like eyes in the back of our heads towards every situation. So it was actually so nice to like see something kind of weird or like, just like, I don't know, meet someone who was like a little off in a wedding party and then having that friend to be like, oh my God. And they're like, I know. So that was the best. I think in one of our episodes, it was the one that I had with Mamrie Hart was my guest. The couple wanted to essentially like get in a canoe and like boat to the top of the aisle and then get out of the canoe
that
and
was
walk
so
down the aisle.
Awkward.
It was by the so way. Crazy. Also, it was like not a tested canoe. It was like a canoe that I believe the groom's friend made. So it's
like
not
a prop
even like
canoe.
Yeah. I was like, this isn't even like a professionally like engineered canoe. This is just like a tree that's been hollowed out and we're hoping for the best. So like watching her like get in the canoe with her dress and it's like rickety and shaking and like the river actually was kind of moving fast. Like it wasn't just like a creek. It was like, no, there's like, like Mamrie joked, like there are level one rapids. I'm like, no, it's true. Like, so.
No, I thought the groom was like with his paddle, like trying to like break a little bit. And the guests could see the whole thing, right?
No, the guests absolutely. No, it was not. That was another thing. There was no mystery element of like, oh, there she is. It's like, no, they saw us actually like getting them into the boat. They saw like me with my hands over my face being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So
it
yeah.
It was like Fauci during that one, news conference early on.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember
exactly.
When he was like in the back and everyone was like, we see you.
Yes. Yes. You. No, I was fully Fauci-ing on the riverbank and, it was just, it was mayhem, but they ended up pulling it off. Like she got out, she didn't get wet. Like everything was fine, but yeah, definitely Mamrie and I, at their reception in particular, we like partied pretty hard because I think we had a lot of anxiety about that canoe.
That's when you were the fortune tellers in the yurt, right?
Yes. That was another thing is that they didn't hire a fortune teller. So then they told us like last minute, like, can you guys just do it? And I was like, sure. So we were just like winging it, like just making shit up and like, just like it was really fun.
Wait,
yeah, I know. I'm like, not to diss the dark arts, but you know, I was like, all right, this is fine. Like, whatever. We don't have to be professionals. It's still fun. It's still fun to get your fortune read, even if you're like, this person is.
That's a really good idea, I think, for an idea for a wedding. Like that sound. That was like, oh, I like that. That's fun.
Yeah.
But the beginning of that episode, that's the same bride that you took her on her bachelorette party.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And her sister was freaking hammered.
Yeah.
Like the sister showed up drunk. Christy.
Blitzed.
Well, like she had to leave. She had to like she was like
she left.
Not well.
No.
Yeah.
No, she was not well. Erin, that bride, was so lovely and just like go with the flow. And I think she was so grateful to just have a bachelorette party because no one had planned one for her. And we were the ones who were like, well, that has to change. Like I'm very pro bachelorette. So I was really happy. I was happy that she was happy and she thought it was like kind of funny that her sister had to leave.
It was pretty hilarious.
I mean, who among us really? Everyone's been there.
Sure. Yes. It was just so funny because it was right away. It's like the second we met up with her, she was just like, hey. And I was like, oh wow. We haven't even started. Okay.
That bride, Erin, and Travis, they were very DIY. Like they,
yes.
And she, this is the one thing that a lot of listeners and a lot of people out there are planning their weddings. They have to save money. B, they want like super customized wedding and like want it to be like, I love this and I love that. And like, I remember you going into their apartment because they mm-hmm. had thrown out so many ideas to you that they were going to have the fortune teller. They were going to do all these different games. They were going to I can't remember the absinthe bar or whatever.
Absinthe bar. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you did like this, you went in there, like had like a little bit of an intervention and you're like, okay, this is the decision dump.
Yeah. The decision dump. Right.
You said, you were so funny. You're like, you're going to shit out a choice.
Yeah. I do. I believe people get too constipated with ideas and themes and, or am I a cornhole bride? Am I an absinthe bar bride? Like, it's just, you just need to choose one and you feel so much better when you do, even if it's quote unquote the wrong choice. It's like, it feels so much better when you just like shit out a choice.
And I feel like that a lot with my clients. Like we want to do this, we want to do that. And I'm like, okay, okay, okay. And I want to be like, you know, positive and like, whatever it is you want, you
sure.
do you, like, let's do it. But you're right. Like some of it is like, this is too much, honey. Like it's too much. And even though they scaled back a little bit, I was watching the footage. They were sweating balls on their wedding day. They were stressed out. I've seen that look before.
They were doing
when
everything.
You just like, you are doing everything. And especially you being the one who had the vision, whether it's the bride or the groom, people want to help you, but you only know in your mind how you want it to be done or how you want it to be seen. So you are making yourself a freaking stress ball mess.
And right.
You can't delegate.
That. It's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. Yeah, I mean, I think too, Erin, she is such a creative person and she is a tattoo artist. So she like has such a flair for the aesthetic that I understand that personality type, especially having trouble relinquishing control because you want things to look a certain way and no one else is going to carry out your vision the way you are. because you're the one with the vision. So I do understand. I really related to that.
How did you feel in that moment? Because I thought, oh, I bet Jamie's feeling a little bit like,
well, I just didn't love that. Honestly, the thing that bothered me was that like no one was really helping them. And like, they were just working, like you were saying, they were just sweating bullets. They were working so hard in like just the hot summer sun. And, you know, I just knew like, well, in a couple of hours, like Erin needs to start getting ready. And like right now she's like hanging things and lifting things and transporting things. I was just like very stressed watching her work so hard on her wedding day. Like, you know, I think that your wedding day can already feel a little bit like a work day, just in terms of like timeline and scheduling and, you know, like hair for 2 hours and makeup for an hour and a half or whatever your thing. It's like, there's all these like windows and everything is just very regimented. So I do think that it's a little hard to not, I don't think it's like easy for a bride to chill on her wedding day, whether she's hanging things from the ceiling or like trying to like get a meal in before she has to have her lipstick put on. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's just kind of a hectic day regardless. So
it takes a meticulous amount of planning prior to the day so that you hopefully, or in theory, can take your hands off the wheel during the day and actually enjoy it. So few are able to do, you know, relinquish control in that way.
Well, it's like even when you have a dinner party and everyone's like, come sit down, and you're like, no, I just have to like check on the chicken and get the bread and make sure the appetite, it's just like, and everyone's like, please, like, just come hang out with us, and you're like, no, you don't understand, like, I'm the director of this operation, like, even if other people are helping, it's like, it's so hard to just like
not
allow it.
Yeah.
Since the show is based on your book and the book was based on your own experience, did you, I mean, tell us about planning. I want to hear, I think we put a bullet point in here that's very outliney when we're like, how did wedding planning affect your own relationship? Yeah. But I also want to hear how you felt on your wedding day after, after all of this.
Yeah. How did I feel on my wedding day? It was definitely a really great day because I was surrounded by people I don't get to see all the time. So that element of it, I think, was my favorite part. I don't love sitting in hair and makeup. That doesn't make me feel, I probably because of my profession where I have to have that done somewhat frequently. That part didn't, like, I wasn't like, oh yay, like it's beginning, like she's putting on the lashes. I was just kind of like, oh God, and it's gonna like break out my face. Like, I don't know. I just had like kind of a soured look at some of those things that did remind me of my job a little bit. But I will say the moments that I loved the most were the ones that were like very small and in between. Like there was a moment where, I think I might've talked about this in the book, there was a moment where this friend of mine who wasn't in my bridal party, but who was just really good about like kind of like inserting herself in the hang. Like she wasn't like asking like, is it okay if I come over even though I'm not? And I was like, of course. Like she just showed up and she's like, hey, I'm here. Like I flew in, like I'm just going to hang out with you girls. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that. And at one point we took a walk through my hotel to this coffee shop that was on the premises. And we just like got an iced coffee and then just walked right back to probably getting my hair and makeup done or something. And it was such an unplanned, just like nice reprieve in the day. And it was so small, but I really like remember hanging out with her because it, everything else was so structured. That was like a moment that just was not planned in advance. And I really just appreciated the normalcy of it.
Yeah. Like the realness, like I can just kind of like focus on this and be chill.
Yeah. I think the whole thing of like feeling like a princess, I think that to me, I don't really A, know what that means. And B, I think that getting too caught up in like trying to maintain the fantasy. By the way, I love the fantasy. I'm not saying like keep it real and don't do all the wedding things, like 100% do them. I'm like, I like to celebrate those things. But I think moments that feel real actually snap you out of the fantasy and then you actually do remember those. Whereas things that are fantasy, you get more swept up and it is like you're in a dreamlike state. So much like the dreams you have in your sleep, you're not remembering them because you're kind of like, high and it's like euphoric and it's like great in the moment, but you're not, it doesn't necessarily make a memory. I guess is what I mean.
Yeah.
But the coffee run, I remember the coffee run.
That's awesome. That's great. So. That's a good tip. Like to have somebody, we always talk about like the wedding party, you know, like most of the weddings I do now in California, there isn't really like a wedding party. There's bridesmaids and groomsmen. The majority of my clients don't have a wedding party, but we get a lot of listeners who write to us or call us and say like, I'm having the worst fucking drama with, you know, my bridesmaids or my maid of honor. Or should I fire my bridesmaid? And we always talk about like, you've got to surround, don't just ask them because they're expecting it, right? Like those people that are surrounding you should be like your crew, like the people that make you feel grounded and like call you out when you like, you know, you do your crazy things and like just bring you to those moments, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, if you're listening to this podcast, you might be planning a wedding or thinking about planning one or replanning one, or maybe you want to be a wedding planner.
We have been producing this podcast for over 4 years. Woo. And now we've taken all of that feedback, all of the interactions we've had through the podcast, and the expertise we have as professional wedding planners, and we've created the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass.
This is a digital course that shows you how to plan step by step from beginning to end our way. It's also helpful at any stage of the planning process, even if you've already gotten started or you're at the very tail end of wedding planning.
We know not everyone can afford a wedding planner, and we saw a need for a comprehensive, customizable, completely inclusive wedding planning instructional course.
With our course, you get templates, spreadsheets, worksheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Plus, we included tons of videos and screen shares to show you exactly how to use all of our planning tools.
And we're here for you. If you have any questions, please email us at hello@thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And if you're interested in the course, go to thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up.
Again, www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com. Thank you.
I was really like right before the wedding, like before I had to go to the venue, I was so paranoid about being late. And I kept talking about it obsessively. And I was like, we're going to be late. We're going to be late. We're going to miss it. And I just could not let the timeline go. And all my friends were like, you're fine. Like we're maybe 10 minutes late. Like it's not a big deal. It's not going to start without you. And I just like, couldn't hear it. Like, I don't know. I was almost like, it was like transferring my anxiety about something else onto the time. And my friend Margie, one of my bridesmaids, she was so good. She like kind of pulled me aside and was like, do you ever meditate? And now I do. But at the time I was like, no. And she's like, gave me this, she shoved like earbuds into my ears and was like, listen to this like 3 minute headspace for anxiety thing. And she just like forced me to meditate. And it was so helpful. Like, I really was like, I came out of it. It was only 3 minutes long. And I came out of it just being like, oh, okay. Yeah. I was freaking out about nothing.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Yeah. I remember that where I remember it because she later told me and I was like, oh, that's right. That did happen. But yeah, it was just like super strange and irrational. I don't know if you see that happen with Brian, but.
Oh yeah. I remember that happening too. Really? When I got married forever ago, but it's just that. There's something about that, those moments when you're like, where is this? And are we there? And when is it going to happen? And I don't want to be late. And what are people going to think? And
I think that comes back to being really deliberate about who you have surrounding you and in your case, your bridesmaids, but a wedding party, your VIPs, your tribe, your people, whoever, because I often see sometimes a bride and maybe in your position, you're freaking out about something, but then the people around her, and I'm seeing this from like planner looking in, the people around her are making it worse, not calming her down. They're like, you know, fueling the fire almost, or saying things that are totally not helpful, or like giving weight to what we should be trying to like take from a person in that, where I'm like, oh, 5 minutes from now, this is actually going to be worse than it is right now, unless somebody like
you know,
throws a blanket on it.
I could totally see that happening. Luckily, all my friends were pretty, they were good, especially the ones who have been to a lot of weddings or been bridesmaids a lot. Like, it really is something you gain experience in. Cause I was always kind of like a bad bridesmaid because I just hadn't been in that many weddings. I think now I figured it out because I have now been married, and also on my show on The Wedding Coach, I kind of made up for all my lost time as a bad bridesmaid by being like the superstar bridesmaid and like really just getting everything done that needed to get done. So I kind of, I feel like I paid my dues that way, but
you've atoned.
Yeah, I've atoned.
The beginning of the book, I'm curious to know if you wrote the beginning, like at the beginning of your writing process or at the end, because the beginning reads to me very much like a pre-planning pep talk, like, all right, everybody circle up. You're about to jump into something. It's kind of crazy pants, but here's some things to remember. And you're kind of like setting the tone, you know, expectations, like stay grounded. Right. And then in a box or some graphic format of the book, it says basically like, number one thing to remember, this is about the two of you and your love. That's it. That's the one, actually, that's the most important thing. So did you need that, like to get that out first and foremost when you were doing the writing process, or was it like, afterwards, I'm going to go back and make sure to kind of set that tone?
I mean, I think I wrote everything in order. I'm pretty sure I wrote that intro early on. I think the only thing that was written after the wedding was, when I was writing about our honeymoon, which is at the very end of the book. But
it feels like a pep talk. Maybe you wanted somebody to have given you.
Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah. I think, I do think that's right. Cause I do think that the wedding planning process for me, really, it was like very hard on our relationship. I'm not saying that everybody goes through that, but I think for us, it was really hard because I think it showed like just sort of family differences and, ways of doing things and boundaries. And it just kind of brought everything to the surface for me. So yeah, I think that's a really important reminder, is that if you feel like your relationship is, you know, incurring damage because of the wedding, the thing that's supposed to celebrate the relationship, then like, what is happening? Like, what is it all for?
The show, I feel like, at first I was like, wait, how is she a wedding coach? But it's interesting to me because, it really does speak the language of our podcast, what you're doing with the show. In that, I'm quoting what you said here. You said, we are all under the influence of the bridal industry, or as you call it, big bridal, and that we need to be talking about it and destigmatizing it and taking control of your wedding. And I was like, yes. We talk about that a lot on the podcast, and we say to our listeners, like, you do you, don't do what, you know, maybe a few generations before you say you should be doing, or what we're seeing on all those big platforms out there on the internet or in the magazines. Like you say, stop living in the pages of the magazines. There is no such thing as perfection. It's so important, you know, that the message is constantly to our listeners, like, this wedding should be the two of you. Like, it is such a waste of money and time and, you know, energy if it just turns out to be, you know, what you're seeing in the magazines or on Pinterest. And that's a lot of pressure. So, I mean, I really get it now. And the book to the show, like, I really do think that message is coming across with your show, and I'm really, I'm stoked about it.
Oh, good, I'm glad.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. I love hearing that.
And I think that also, now that I just read that part in your book about wedding planners, and you know, you obviously didn't have a great experience, or maybe what you were expecting to have with your wedding planner, but the whole wedding coach and what you're doing on the show is almost as if you kind of put through in what you kind of wanted out of your wedding planner.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's accurate. I mean, my wedding planner was affiliated with our venue, and you know, she knew a lot of, you know, vendors that she works with, and I just felt like she was mostly just sort of emailing and then like forwarding us responses that she got. And you know, I was working a very like busy full-time job on a television show I was writing, and having to drive to Santa Monica every day from where I lived, which was like an hour commute both ways, and I was just really busy, and I felt just really overwhelmed and inundated. And I don't even know if it's necessarily like her fault or she was bad. It's just like, I just needed someone to take things to another level in terms of support. And I don't even know if that is a realistic ask. It was just how I was feeling. And I think a lot of women who are working and have, you know, careers, like, and then they're expected to like carry out this incredible event that's supposed to like blow people's minds and, you know, dazzle them with food and decorations and entertainment. And, you know, it's just like, oh, that's a job in and of itself, which is why wedding planners exist. Like, that is such a big job. Like, to plan a wedding is a big job. So for me, when my wedding planner wasn't really shouldering that burden, I was just kind of like, wait, what is this? Like, I need someone to like handle it, like, you know, like handle me and know how to handle me. I even think I say in the book, like, can you also just like read my mind and like not have to ask me questions? Like, some of it was irrational, because you are irrational when you're planning a wedding. So it's almost like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's like, was my wedding planner not doing enough, you know, or like, was I so stressed that I couldn't even like see everything she was doing, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't actually know. Well, I was in such a frantic state.
Now that you mention that she was part of the venue, Jamie, she's a venue coordinator. She's not
right, but she called me
a wedding planner. Yeah. So I'm glad you told me that, because I was like,
herself as a wedding planning sir. She called herself the wedding planner.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she like, might have called herself, but she's there on behalf of the venue. I mean, I don't know how involved, like, she probably recommended all the vendors and did all that because she's part of the venue. Sure. But
right.
We talked to a couple once that had a negative experience with their first wedding planner, which the, you know, end of the story is that they parted ways and hired somebody else. But part of that reason is because, the woman would, the bride in this case, would come home and just be like, I'm managing my wedding planner.
My planner.
So now I'm just as stressed out and just as busy as I would be if I didn't have a planner. And on top of that, I'm kind of pissed. And her partner was like, we need to fire the plant. Like, we need to take out one of these parts, and it's not going to be you. So it's got to be her. He was very like, let's just solve this problem. Do you remember, Michelle? Sure. This was Rodney and Jazz. Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like her, once that was off of her shoulders and she was working with a planner who was doing
her language.
She thinks she was, she was like, oh, I get it. Now I'm still stressed and I'm still irrational and I'm still, you know, managing my own expectations, but at least I'm not also
upset about her. Yeah. Well, that's what we talked about, David Tatera, too. Like, you have to love your wedding planner. If you don't love,
I do think that's a really good, that's a good piece of advice. And I think that it's very easy to get paired with someone or think that it's a great working relationship. And then as you actually get into the weeds and start planning, you're like, this is actually not a great fit.
So if you ever plan another wedding, just call us.
We're here. I will.
We'll make it
work. I absolutely will. Yeah. I definitely think I would love that. Yeah. it was just such a crazy experience. Yeah. And then on the day of my wedding, she was like, she didn't text me like, hey, you, like, congrats, it's here.
A big day.
No, there was no acknowledgement of this is my wedding day. She just texted me, make sure you bring an aux cord to the venue for the iPod hookup. And I was like, this bitch is going down. I was horrified. I literally, like, my stomach dropped reading that text. I was like, how dare you say the words aux cord to me right now? You find the aux cord. Pretty sure you could go to the Rite Aid and pick one up. Just, you know what I mean? Like, what is this? So gross.
I love your show, and I think it's, everybody's gonna really love this show, Jamie. It's really good.
Thank you for saying that.
But when I found out, like, I watched Crashing on HBO.
We didn't even talk about it.
You did?
Yeah, we both like binged it, unknowing that the other person did, because it's very random.
God, you guys.
And I was like, that's Jay. I love her, your character, and I love Pete, and I just think the show is brilliant. Aww. My husband and I love that show, and I hate that they're not going to do another season.
I know. Can you believe that? I was so surprised.
So annoying. It's so good. Also,
I know.
Is Pete just super fucking tall, or are you really short? Because I was watching it.
He's really tall. No, he's super tall. I'm 5'4". I mean, I'm not like a tower, but yeah, he's really tall.
Okay. Because it's like,
yeah. So I just look like a little, yeah. I'm just like a little like leprechaun hanging out with him
next to him.
Yeah.
In New York. You guys are waiting for his manager to pick you guys up, because I think he was going the tour of the colleges. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, she's short like me. Or
yeah, I'm just like standing there, and then he's like all the way up here. It's so funny.
That's one of those shows, I think, that people. This, maybe you haven't heard this because you're in the show, but it's like a badge of honor show. It's like, oh, I watched all of that. And then somebody else will be like, you watched all that? I watched all of that. And I'll be like, you did?
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I love it's that. Really, I've never heard that. That's really cool.
And I love Ted Lasso, by the way. That's another great one that you're writing for. Ted Lasso is amazing. Are you going to be in it at all? You should be in it.
I would love that, but I'm not British. So it's hard because like, Jason's kind of the main.
He's not.
He's like the main American.
What's the actress? So, I'm forgetting her name right now. The blonde one. She's super cute. She's the soccer player.
Juno Temple.
Yeah, is she British?
She plays Keely. She's British.
Oh my god! Because every other show I've seen her in, she has like a super like.
She's not British. I know.
Yeah. I was like, she's.
Yeah, she's British. That, you can be British and do American accents, but American accent doing British,
I don't think,
is very
it works.
Hard. Like, I mean, in terms of. I think it's distracting, and I'm not really clear on why that is, but that is usually the feeling that people are like, even if you have an amazing British accent, they're like, nah, you're American.
Yeah. It was a real road to hoe for Bridget Jones.
Yeah.
She took it on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Mariah is asking the chat, what is the current show called and when does it air?
The current show is called The Wedding Coach. It's going to be on Netflix, and it drops on April 7th.
Well, I wanted to open up, ladies, if you have any questions, feel free to unmute yourself. And if not, don't worry, no pressure. But I did want to give you the opportunity if you have any questions. Or you can just look at Polly, because she's like, look at her.
Oi, look at that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do I do with my wedding dress? Because I got married last weekend. And a year ago. But what do I do with it now?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you think, Jamie? Burn it? Throw it in a lake?
I literally thought about throwing it in the trash can.
I mean, I'm done with it. Rotting in the closet. So I might not be the best person to ask. I wore it for my book cover and I spilled coffee on it that day. So now it's like kind of brown. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe resale? What do you guys think?
That's a good idea. A resale is a good idea, or, you know, donating it. I mean, a lot of people take it and have it like preserved at, you know, the dry cleaner and like with the special tissue in the box.
I did that. And it's been in my garage for 11 years. So,
because one of your sons will wear it on their wedding day.
That's the thought. Right. I mean, I'm very open-minded, you know, so I don't want to, just because I didn't have a daughter, wasn't going to toss it out.
Well, maybe my daughter will want yours, because I don't have mine. I have no idea where it is at all. It's gone.
oh, maybe I could just lose
mine. You could just lose it. What, did you not like it?
I loved it. I love my dress. It's right here. But I wore it in my mini Moni for last year's COVID ceremony. And then we finally got to have our bigger-ish wedding. And I got to wear it again. So I have, like, officially worn it.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, you've done it. You've done it.
I think, yeah, you know, so I'm very happy with that. And I'm looking at resale, like, on Facebook. And it's, like, used dresses are going for, like, $100. And I'm like, well, what's the point of this?
Donating it might make you feel,
yeah,
good. Maybe. Yeah, it goes to somebody that needs it. And I know there's like organizations or nonprofits that do that with wedding dresses and prom dresses. So
that's a good idea.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And you're, hey, listen, your dress has seen a lot more action than most. So
yeah. Twice.
Twice. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thank
you. Yay.
So this dress on the cover, Jamie Lee, is your dress. I see the pictures and
that
the
is my dress. Yeah. That is my wedding dress. That's correct.
That's awesome. I love it. I did see on YouTube, you did an episode of Say Yes to the Dress, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
That's right. It was so much fun. It was like, yeah, I had the best time. It was a blast. That is such a well-oiled machine. That show's run for so long. And like, it was just a great experience production-wise. Like everything happened really fast. They don't keep you too long. Like, it was just great. We had such a fun day. And I did it with my friend, Jacqueline Novak, who I worked on the book with, and my friend, Phoebe Robinson. And yeah, we were just like went in and it was just really, really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You went into Kleinfeld's. You had the...
That store is so fun. Oh my God. That store is a blast. So it's like bridal heaven.
So there's a lot of things in here you don't recommend or you think are... you know, you have that irreverent, like, whatever, take or leave it. But Kleinfeld, take it. If you have a choice, that take is on it. Your list of good stuff.
Love it. They do it right. They know they're selling the dream. It's great. Yeah, from the moment you walk in, you're like, this is going to be epic. Yeah. Great.
That's great. Awesome. Well, any...
Oh, Alex, I think.
You have Alex, a question, yes. Right? Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Jamie. Hi. My sister and I used to stay up way too late watching Girl Code, like all the time.
I love that. Oh, that's so wonderful.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
That's adorable.
My question is, we just got engaged like a couple months ago, Christmas Eve, actually. And we are not trying to plan a COVID wedding. Like, I'm just not interested in any way, shape, or form. So we're thinking like 2023.
Ooh.
Like October. So we've got a ways to go, but I guess I'll open this up to anybody. Does anybody have anything that's not planning a wedding, but also celebrating our engagement? If that makes sense.
That's a great, what do you guys, I feel like that's very much a wedding planner question. Like, what do you say?
Well, I think one of the things that we heard, we did that episode, Alex, I don't know if you heard first, like the first thing after getting engaged. And I feel like the consensus was to what you're doing, not plan the wedding right now, but rather just kind of bask in that, like, and it's been since December. So you're kind of there. You're like, oh, we've been engaged for a while, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that just, you know, enjoying that and enjoying each other is... It's just some really, you know, very simple advice. And you don't really need to do much if you're planning for you're the first person I speak to, by the way, that's planning a 23 wedding. This is exciting.
Nice. It is exciting. Yeah. Well, there's so many postponements and people that were already planning for 2021 and then 2020, like they all postponed. So I think it's a little bit nuts right now. And
yeah.
I emotionally can't handle a postponement or dealing with questions.
At least you know that about yourself.
Right.
Yeah, hats off to you, Mariah, for doing twice.
I think my advice would be if you only had like 18 months or something and you were like, I want to still feel like I'm planning my wedding, even though I'm not actually going to be doing it anything for half a year or whatever, I would say like spread out your fun special events. Like you can have an engagement party anytime, by the way, if you haven't already. But then there's the showers and maybe a bachelorette, maybe a joint thing. But I do think it would be a little awkward to invite somebody to a shower this early, because they'd be like,
oh, for sure.
Not even positive we're all going to get there. Like, it's way out there. I got asked to do a 2022, late in 2022 wedding 6 months ago. And I was like, am I even going to be a person that far out? I don't know. I just was like, I love you guys, but let's circle back. That seems, when we're planning things like day to day at this point, that seems very far out. So I think you wait on your celebrations with other people, but yeah, like you just got to kind of bask for a while, the two of you, and remember, like, we're engaged, even though it's, we've been engaged, we are engaged. That's something.
Save money. I'll tell you that right now. Put that X is amount the plan. Every month in the wedding bucket so you can have a badass, like, what you want wedding, because you have time.
Yeah, that's true. That is the plan. We're going to save and hopefully stop talking to some people before 2023 so we don't have to enjoy that. Oh.
Start weeding out the friends.
Phase people out.
The yeah, friends.
Severing those ties.
Oh, very good. Gabrielle, do you have anything?
I think so. Yes. Well, it's such a pleasure to be on this with you guys. It's so fun. I'm wondering, so I'm actually getting eloped next weekend and in Vegas. And I'm cool. Super excited about it. I kind of left you like a crazy voicemail like a week yes. before or something. I was like over the top excited, like couldn't breathe. But I'm wondering, because we plan to do a little reception here back at home when we get back from the wedding, probably couple 2-3 months later, and I'm wondering if it's appropriate, I'm sure it is, to put on the announcements, our registry, like the URL to the registry on there, if that is appropriate. I just kind of assumed it was, but any kind of like feedback or whatever you guys think, since it's not like a traditional wedding, it's an elopement, and we're going to come back here, do the little reception. That's still going to be very small and intimate too, but I would like to put out or have some kind of something there, you know, for them to go off of.
When you say on the announcement, do you mean on the announcement that like we're married?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I mean, if you're, I think that, and then on the announcement, are you going to put the information about the reception, about the party?
Yes, that's a good question. So I'll actually send out announcements to people that aren't going to come to the reception just to let them know this is what happened, which I wouldn't think that that would be appropriate to put the registry on. I don't know. I mean, it'd be some certain family members that we wouldn't have come or couldn't make it that we would give to them anyways, but I'm assuming they would like to see a registry on there, but specifically the ones that are coming to the reception, those would be, I would assume, the ones that the registry would be on. But I don't know.
Well, since Jamie's our guest, I'm going to let her
do you have registry any stuff in here?
Oh, I just feel like I think people want to buy you a wedding gift. Like, I think I would hope that I hope that they wouldn't see the invite and be like, well, we didn't even go to the wedding. I think like it's appropriate to send someone a gift, even if you don't go to their wedding. So to me, I think it's, I wouldn't even like think twice about it if someone did that.
Right.
If I got an invitation like that, I'd just be like, oh, great. There's their registry. I really would not think twice.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't want it to be like it'd be like at the very bottom, just, you know, it's there.
Yeah. It's not like, here it is. And then like in tiny font, like we got married. Like, yeah, I think you're fine. To me, personally, I just, anyone who like dwells on that and they're like, that's tacky. It's like, that's their own problem.
Right.
I just think anyone who's like looking to get fired up about something, it's like, just like live your life. I don't know. I feel like that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. I think it's great that you're going to send out an announcement. And if you're not everybody that you're sending an announcement to is going to get maybe like a separate reception card or something, you can, and do you have a website for the two of you with information on it?
I actually, because of you girls, did a little creation on Zola, because they're great, and it's awesome that it's free and it's really user friendly and you can edit the whole thing. So I do have a brief little website on there. I wasn't sure about adding that onto the announcement cards, But I guess I could, because then the registry would be on there. So it wouldn't be just a URL for a registry at the bottom.
Yeah, you could do that. And then I'm sure you have a lot of photos, or if you have photos of the elopement too, mm-hmm. like throw that on there. And then that way they can go to the website, because they are going to ask you, like, are you registered anywhere? If it's not, you know, and then you could put the wedding website and they would probably know to go there and see the registry. So that's another option. And then that way they could see your photos too. And it would be like an info about the, well, now at that point, then if you're not, everybody's invited to the reception, you don't want to put info about the reception on the wedding website, because then I'm going to be like, dude, wait a minute. Am I invited to this reception that she's gone?
Right.
So I would just use a separate card insert for the reception with the announcement to those that are invited, and then mm-hmm. make the wedding website just the registry and photos and stuff like that.
Great. That's good. Good feedback.
There is registry stuff in here. Now I see the, like, the glossary, the index at the end. Oh, I was,
what was it?
I said, do you have registry stuff in here? And I see that in the index, there's a lot of registry opinions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also,
okay.
I was reading your credits or your thank yous, your acknowledgments. I really like your last one.
What was it?
Jesus. JK.
Oh.
I love that.
Great.
Well, Jamie, this has been so delightful.
Yeah.
Aww. We try not to like fangirl too much, but we are legit fans and we're so excited about this show, and we're glad we have copies of the book, just all of it. It's been really great. So thank you.
Yeah, really.
Oh yeah. Thanks for having me. So fun.
Yeah. I'm excited about the show. And for those listening, check it out, because when this episode comes out, it will be out. So it is The Wedding Coach on Netflix. You're gonna love it. Okay. And Jamie, again, thank you for coming on. Like Christy said, I'm trying not to fangirl. I might be sitting in a puddle of my own urine.
Lovely.
But I'm cool. You know, waist up. We're good.
You're very cool. Yeah. You both are very cool.
So anytime you want to come back on the pod, we'd love to have you. And we hope you enjoy
fun.
The rest of your day. And do call us if you ever need a wedding planner. Okay.
Okay, I honestly
we'll do you upright for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.